Chapter 32. After refueling, the heavy hauler lifted off again with Reach, Alexa, and Brody aboard. Reach gave an informal salute to Ramirez, who stayed near the landing site, watching them go. He couldn't shake the feeling that there was something beyond jokes that the corporal wanted to speak with him about. That would have to wait.
"Don't worry about her," Alexa said, patting Reach's forearm. "She'll live. You'll be able to deepen your emotional bond."
"That's a pretty technical way of putting it."
"Yeah, a lot of guys have had the hots for Leanna," Brody chimed in. "But she pretty much hates everyone. So, maybe settle for one of the ugly women in camp."
Reach stared blankly at the battle android.
"Thanks for the tip."
"No problem, citizen."
Brody looked around the near-empty cabin.
"So, what are these things called?
"It's a modified heavy hauler," said Alexa. "Its technical designation is a ROM-36 industrial flight craft."
"That's a dumb name. How did they get modified?"
"I redesigned the craft to improve flight stability, aerodynamics, and speed, and I added several weapon systems."
Brody slapped his knee.
"That's the way to do it, sis. So these are war machines now."
"And transports."
"Heavy hauler is a dumb name for a war machine. Needs to be something that will strike fear into the enemy, like Screaming Bird of Death."
"Little wordy," Reach said. He was relieved that the two AIs were no longer hinting about his love life. He wasn't being that obvious about Leanna, was he?
No. They just picked up on it because of their algorithms. That had to be it.
Alexa turned to Reach.
"What are your intentions upon arriving at Camp Muir?"
"Read the room to start with," Reach said, resting the back of his head against his seat. "Crazewell said the Osei are hot and bothered about what happened to Leanna. After all, the old man is her father, so that doesn't make her a princess or anything, but something."
"Hawks! Eagles!" Brody shouted. "War eagles! Stallones!"
It took a moment before Reach realized the android was brainstorming other names for the heavy hauler.
"Predators!" Brody shouted. "Oh, that's actually a good one."
"Brody," Alexa said, "can you clarify Leanna's place among her people for us? Does she have any formal authority as daughter of Osei Crazewell?"
"Psh! She's not his real daughter. Everybody knows that."
"We did not."
Furies? "No. I still like Predator more."
"Brody, will you tell us?"
"Oh, yeah, sure. You see,"
the pilot transmitted an update. 60 seconds to landing."
"Better tell it quick," Brody said,
and then sped up his voice so that it came out as a series of high-speed squeaks that lasted all of 2 seconds.
"I see," said Alexa. "That makes sense."
Reach held up a hand. "I didn't understand any of that."
"Oh, yeah," Brody said. "I forget sometimes that you're still a slow brain, Reachy. Well, I can tell it again for you, citizen."
"I'll summarize," said Alexa. "Leanna's mother was pregnant with her on the original voyage. After her pod failed, she carried Leanna nearly to term, only to face complications in delivery that were beyond the medical abilities of the colonists. A decision was made to place the pregnant mother back into one of the last cryo chambers whose emergency batteries hadn't completely depleted in the hope that eventually the needed equipment would arrive, the equipment that would save the mother's life. But as time went on, more pods failed. Finally, 21 years ago, the last of their pods failed. At that point, they had no choice but to deliver Leanna through a cesarean delivery. There was nothing they could do for her mother, who died. Crazewell adopted Leanna, having no children of his own. But she is seen as belonging to the colony as a whole. The very oldest have known of her since their childhood, and the youngest see her as something of a living fable."
"I remember it like it was yesterday," said Brody, "despite it being 999 years ago."
The hauler, or predator, banked and hovered before descending for landing. Reach looked out the side and saw Stanga's men and some of the Osei villagers with a perimeter set up to protect the craft from any Rupak attacks, but none came.
"Alexa," said Reach. "Brody keeps using that number.
999 years. Is that accurate? We were in cryo for that long?
I don't think so. I believe that Brody uses that number not only as a maximum figure in his articulation of numbers, but also as a fill-in for any figure he is unable to provide. Where I might say unknown, and a calculator may say no, he says 999.
So do you have a better estimate for how long it's really been?
I'm not yet at a point where I'm comfortable providing my thoughts on the matter.
The hauler's struts hit the deck and the ship rocked to a landing.
We're here.
The doors opened, and Reach saw that a crowd had gathered despite the late hour. The generator had supplied lights to the individual pods as well as LED-mounted poles that reminded Reach of the lights on community ball fields back home. It was a world of difference from the first night he'd spent here.
"Looks like the natives are restless," Brody rumbled, hopping from the ship and throwing his arms out wide to the gathered Osei. "I have returned!"
Several of the ruling council spoke excitedly to Brody in their language. Most animated among them was Dessen, the man who demanded assurances from Reach prior to agreeing to unite with the wayward Boone colony. As Alexa and Brody spoke to the natives, Reach found Sergeant Stanga and his team.
"What's the word?"
"Tough to say, sir. When the old man passed on word of what happened to that girl, it spread fast. They aren't too happy."
"Have they been hostile to you or your men?"
"Not hostile, but there's something there. I don't know. Distrust? Wariness? It's not universal by any stretch, but some of them are acting a bit leery around us when we pass by."
"Night and day switch," added PFC Dunn. "They were ready to carry us on their shoulders after we got the light pole set up. Then it all changed. I thought I might get a date from one of these girls."
Reed shrugged. "With dating comes the harassment briefings. That part of colonization can wait. You men get back to what you were doing. I'll see what I can do to calm the leadership down."
"Roger," Stanga said.
"First squad, let's move."
Brody was still speaking to the colony leaders when Reach joined him and Alexa.
Listen, I wiped the floor with those commie punk unks. Still got their blood on my armor."
Dessen shook his head.
"Adana, Adana."
"What's this?" Reach asked.
"They feel that Rupak's aggression needs to be answered," Alexa said. "Osei Crazewell cautioned against seeking conflict until we could be consolidated. This man is agitating to the contrary now that Crazewell has left for Camp Ohio."
Dessen stood in front of Reach and seemed to tee off, though Reach didn't understand a word of it.
"Brody, can you translate that for me?"
I can paraphrase and add a little context. Basically, Dessen wants to fight Rupak because of what happened to Liana. I approve. But really, he wants to do it because he wants to bone marry Liana and hopes this will impress her. I disapprove."
Reach nodded, unsure how helpful or accurate that translation was. He turned to Dessen.
"I understand your concern and your desire for retribution. We will put an end to the Rupak threat on Amir. But not at the expense of leaving your people or Camp Ohio unprotected, which is what would happen if you put together a mobile force to pursue. Do you understand?"
Alexa translated Reach's every word, while at the same time transmitting to Reach via implant.
"I've deciphered the Osei language well enough to provide a translation with 94% accuracy," she explained. "I am also updating your implant to translate directly when he replies."
Reach waited as Alexa finished her translation. Dessen and the men around him grew less agitated. But Dessen's answer, which sounded like perfect English in Reach's ear, was no less adamant than before.
"You have come here as our forefathers, and yet you are younger than us," Dessen said. "Your promises of life and health and unity, they are what we have long dreamed of. But still, Rupak harms one of the people. And so we ask, what good are your most grand promises if you lack the strength to strike back at those who harm the innocent? Where is the strength in one who asks a man to refrain from defending himself?"
There was a murmur of approval from Dessen's followers.
"He's got a point, offered Brody.
Reach let out a breath.
"I agree," he said, waiting for Alexa to translate. "But not at the expense of leaving the Osei unprotected.
Dessen opened his mouth to again argue the point, but Reach held up a hand, interrupting him.
Put together a team. I'll leave my men here and go with you. We'll seek to ambush the Rupak responsible for this, together.
Dessen smiled at the translation, then nodded.
Good. This is good. Thank you.
He turned and began to form his entourage, mostly young Osei men who'd happily traded their spears for M4s. A rifle was a rifle to these men.
Hell yeah! Brody shouted, jumping up and down in excitement. Just let me get reloaded.
Alexa moved with Reach as he turned from the conversation.
Are you sure this is wise?
Wise? No. Necessary? Yes. Or at least I think so. Dessen had committed. Backing down was going to make him look weak to his followers. He's part of the leadership here, and the last thing we want to do is flex our muscle and attempt to cow him. That would only build up resentment. Anyway, I don't think we're going to end up doing much of anything beyond taking a hike. Rupak will be long gone.
Alexa arched an eyebrow.
You're proving the initial mission planners right. Very astute.
Thanks. And you didn't even have to brainwash them into thinking of me as the second coming.
Alexa didn't laugh.
That's not what I did, Reach. Please don't think of it that way.
Just a joke, Alexa.
But it's not. That type of thinking is dangerous because it makes what I've done look reckless and wanton, and such was not the case.
Reach felt like he was on shaky ground. He shouldn't have brought this up, but after the discussion with Bosa and Sherman, it was on his mind.
Listen, I trust you, Reach said, unsure just how true that was. He wanted to trust her, wanted everything to be good. Heaven knew how critical she was to this mission, but those orders were unsettling.
But when word gets out about what you did to me and to them, we both know that's how the others are going to see it.
No, they're not.
Tell me why.
Because there's nothing to see. Reach, I didn't program the others on the Boon into some sort of cult of personality. I made friendship, neurologically speaking. You know these men and are fond of them, some more than others. And they are the same toward you. All I did was show them who you are, what you've done, and what you're willing to do. They know your character. Everything else follows naturally.
Reach smiled, though the expression felt flat and abortive.
So why do I get to be the guy?
Because I saw who you were first.
Brody pushed his way through the remains of the crowd.
Okay, I'm back, and I got some stuff for the expedition. Carl Gustavs. They'll figure him out. Grenades. Lots of grenades. Claymores, just in case. Let's see. What else?
Brody, Reach said. I'm sorry, buddy, but you can't go out on this one. We need you here protecting the camp.
I went on the last one.
You snuck away because Lyanna told you, Alexa clarified. And you shouldn't have.
You shouldn't have, said Brody mockingly. Reach, you have to take me. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Brody, the camp, Reach said, swirling his finger around in a circle. The camp is the wall, bud. Protect it.
What? The? Hell.
Brody turned and stormed off before stopping to spin and deliver a perfect Harrison Ford finger point.
Unbelievable.
He turned and took a few more steps.
Oh, and Dessen is probably going to try to shoot you because it's obvious how much Lyanna likes you. She made...
Brody buzzed, and then in a monotone said,
Name for special meal missing.
Before continuing the sentence as if nothing happened.
For you. She's never done that for me.
You can't eat.
Irrelevant.
Brody, come on.
I'm just saying, when he shoots you in the back because Alexa... Little Miss Perfect, Dad's favorite, yeah, I said it, is too busy studying the fascinating alien fauna to stop you from getting clapped. Well, I'll still avenge your death, but then I'll say at your funeral, why didn't he listen to Brody? And Lyanna will cry and probably marry some loser and be unhappy for the rest of her life, and that's on you, pal.
Brody stormed off through camp, scattering colonists and mumbling to himself about the injustice of it all. Reach turned to Alexa. We're sure he can be fixed?
I think Dr. Roman likes him this way.
Someone call the chaplain over to me, Brody yelled to no one in particular. Tell him to pray that we're overrun so I don't miss all the action.
Reach let out a sigh, then chuckled.
You know, so do I.